All right, welcome back, everybody, to the 10th episode of the Tiger View podcast. It's kind of crazy saying that we've done 10 episodes already, but yeah, we're back. We're kind of getting a later start on Sunday night tonight, May the 25th. I just got back home from work, but anyways, we're still here doing the podcast, our usual Sunday evening type deal. But yeah, Dawson, we got another week come and gone once again. Not as kind of, I guess, busy this week, so it might be a little lighter episode, but kind of just want to go over the schedule like always for the podcast episode. So first we're going to jump in to the baseball ACC championship week in Durham. Got that wrapped up today, and then softball, or actually we're going to go into regional host sites that were announced not too long ago and talk kind of some postseason stuff with the NCAA tournament and Clemson in particular. And then we'll roll into softball, kind of recapping the super regionals that ended in Austin last night. And then we got some more new college football playoff news that will be happening this season. I know we kind of talked about the playoffs last episode, but now we got some more news on that today. And then, yeah, just that's pretty much it. So I want to go right into the baseball ACC championship week. So, Dawson, what are your thoughts from there coming out of Durham?
I mean, we talked about it before that we just needed to put up a good showing, really. I mean, we didn't have to go out and win the whole thing for us to be in a good spot to host, and that's really what we did. Was we came out, we handled business against Virginia Tech. We battled a lot, and really kind of it felt like we got over the hump a little bit against NC State there. A lot of clutch hitting. We had 16 hits that game. The one thing that I did want to see more of is more clutch pitching in that game. It felt like, we kind of kept keeping NC State in the game, even when Lucas Malmsteed came in and was able to shut the door. And then we look at Saturday, and you get off to a real slow start. Georgia Tech goes up on you early, and then Jacob Jarrell bombs away, grand slam to give us the lead there, and we never look back from there. And then obviously today, I think you can ask a majority of Clemson fans, and they would probably tell you that they could have seen something like this happening. I don't think this Clemson team was built to win the ACC championship. They just weren't built to be able to run through this many games repeatedly with their pitching staff. And we saw that today out of BJ Bailey. It feels like he's kind of gotten, started to struggle as the years gone on, comparably to how his first few starts were and how he was early out of the pen. He only went 1 1/3 inning. He only gave up one hit, but a lot of his work was, North Carolina just finding ways on. He gave up 2 earned runs, 3 runs in total, and before he was pulled. And really, that was kind of the story of the day, was the bullpen just, couldn't get it done. And I hear a lot of people asking, they ask, why didn't Aiden Canuck start today? And I have to tell people, look, this was not a must-win game today. As much as we want to think about it, it was not a must-win game. And if you can get Aiden Canuck fully rested, a good weeks-long rest before the tournament for the regional this weekend, you're going to do that. No matter, what you have to do, that's going to be your priority is the regional.
Just kind of want to recap real quick all the scores from Durham in case people weren't kind of paying closely attention to it. So, game one, Tigers play Virginia Tech, ends up winning 6-1. And then that game two against NC State, real good game. Tigers end up winning that one 7-6. And then the Georgia Tech game, you kind of touched on, Dawson. Tigers end up winning that one 9-4 in the semifinals. And then ultimately taking on North Carolina today, where it kind of wasn't a pretty show, but still, we kind of talked on last week just our thoughts of how the tournament would go, and I mean, I think it pretty much went how we talked about. I mean, if you get past Virginia Tech, you got a rematch with NC State, who gave us a heck of a time in Raleigh, ended up sweeping us, and then they end up winning, and then going into Georgia Tech, a team we beat earlier in the season in Atlanta, and I mean they've kind of been riding a hot streak, so it's kind of a different Georgia Tech team we faced earlier in the season, end up winning that, and then ultimately playing North Carolina, who ends up knocking off Florida State. I thought we might have seen Florida State again in the ACC championship game, but that wasn't the case. And then yeah, what we've seen today in the championship game, ended up losing 14-4. But yeah, kind of just want to touch back on people wondering why maybe Aiden Canuck didn't start. Kind of want to shout out Dalton Holman on Twitter. I know he kind of keeps up with our stuff. He made a good point. He was just basically saying that it's not smart to, start Aiden Canuck because, I mean, we got regionals coming up and you don't want to bring him back out there in the ACC championship game and maybe even risk hurting him coming back maybe a little bit too early than he's usually used to. So I think it was a good call not to start Aiden Canuck. Obviously, we got regionals coming up. And, I mean, you do want to win the ACC, but at the end of the day, which trophy is more important, the ACC championship or the national championship in Omaha here in a couple weeks? So, yeah, that's my thoughts with it.
Yeah, I agree. And really, what we wanted to see from this week was our hitting starting to get hot, and it felt like Cam Cannarella was really pressing the matter. Really played well. He's got his average up to .339 as of today, and we haven't talked about him tonight, but I feel like fans are getting a little taste of him. How about TP Wentworth making plays out there in right field, hitting the ball? I mean, he is everything that probably Coach Bakich and the staff wanted him to be at this point in time.
Yeah, that's your boy TP Wentworth. You've definitely bought some stock in him this season. You started from the beginning until up to now. I mean, he's getting hot at the right time and he's filling in that spot in the outfield. And I mean, Coach Backage talked about it early in the season whenever we were there covering in person in those post game press conferences that he's gonna be a special player and he's really showing it now at the right time too.
I would also like to say another guy who I was reading this, because we when we talk about Colin Priest, we think that he struggled a lot this year, a lot of bad at bats, a lot of strikeouts, but as of right now, he's hitting .253. He's got 12 home runs, and his slugging percentage is over 500. It's 505 right now. And I saw a number I think put out last week. It's probably changed since then. That since ACC play started, he was batting like .275, .280. And I'm like, okay, if Colin Priest can kind of get some stuff figured out, I think he had a really good ball player in him. People forget he's still young, and he making the adjustment from seeing arms that you would see at Michigan to seeing arms now that you'll see at Clemson. It's a game change. It's really different. And early on in the year, when he wasn't getting a ton of at bats, it's hard to get in a rhythm. But really, it's felt like now that he's able to see guys, is hopefully he can build on this momentum that he's kind of gained these last couple of weeks and carry that into the offseason, or even, hey, be a star in the regional when we need somebody to step up with runners on and we need a big home run, just like against Georgia Tech Saturday.
Yeah, speaking of that, how about that mammoth of the home run he hit right center? I mean, once that thing came off the bat, I mean, you even heard it on the announcer on the TV. I mean, man, that one was really rocketed out there in right center. And I mean, just another instance of getting hot at the right time. I mean, you got postseason ball coming up. You never know what that comes into fold. And I mean, you definitely want to be swinging a hot bat right now. So definitely good thing for Colin Priest. And I'm also touching back on Cam, getting his average up some more. And then he's also extending his on base or is it hitting streak or on base streak? He's got both,
Both,
but
I believe, yeah.
yeah, both. But he's extended that hitting streak to, was it now 16, 17 games? If I'm right,
It
it's something
might be
like that.
more. It's around there. Yeah, we I
Yeah.
almost had the number pulled up in front of us, but
Yeah, but I know the on base streak, it's pretty high up there, but definitely something you like seeing out of Cam too. I know he's kind of had a kind of rocky, I wouldn't say rocky, kind of a up and down season, but I mean, right guys are getting hot at the right time, no doubt about that.
And let me see if I can actually see. I've got the cam thing pulled up right here. I can't find it. Never mind, never mind. But yeah, he did have one hit today. So Colin Priest had two hits. And one thing I do want to mention is might not be popular to say, but Justin LeGarnech, 2.5 innings, or two and two thirds innings. One hit, no earned runs today. I mean, hey, guy like that, you might need him. You might need him, especially with the depth problems we got. And we saw Talon Bell the other day. He wasn't perfect, but he didn't look bad. I mean, that's another guy that Clemson's probably gonna really need in this regional. And I believe, like I told someone else, that the fact that if you end up losing a game in this regional, you're gonna have to battle back a lot, and you don't really have the depth to have to play on, say you lose the Friday night game or you lose the Saturday night game. You're gonna have to play an extra game, and then you're gonna probably have to force a game, a Monday game. I mean, you don't have the depth to play like that. But as long as you can stay in the winner's bracket, I do feel like Clemson has a good chance to advance whoever they're playing.
Yeah, we'll find out who we host tomorrow. Like we were kind of talking about last week. I think now, even seeing how Clemson got beat today in the ACC championship game, I think we might get a sneaky SEC team in there, and then a sneaky, gritty lower level team, then another whatever team they might throw at us. But I think we're definitely going to get a SEC team in there, and then one of those really gritty smaller teams that you always have to watch out for. So I mean, like we were talking about, I mean, all last week, all this week, I think that's going to be the case coming in once we figure out who we're hosting tomorrow.
And obviously I don't really think it was a big surprise that we got the host. That wasn't really any surprise to me. What I am kind of worried about, and I guess we'll get into it whenever we start talking about the tournament and where teams are, is like you said, I mean, I'm just if there's a team like a Tennessee in 2023 that slides into our regional and we have to go down the stretch with them. We don't have to say we don't have Aiden Canock. And maybe Talon or whoever we throw out there, maybe he only gives us 3 or 4 innings, but we're staying in the game. How's our depth gonna handle that, down the stretch? How can how many pitchers are we gonna be able to bring out of the pen before one of them gives, kind of lets the floodgates open? And will we be able to hit with runners on? That was another big thing today is, I believe it was like 4-0 or 5-0, and we had bases loaded early in the game, and we couldn't do anything with it. I mean, those are big chances in games, and if you can't execute in those moments, you're really not going to have any shot at making the World Series this year.
Yeah, we've touched on that time and time again, and I just feel like I keep saying, it's like a broken record player. You keep mentioning it and bringing it up, but now's the time where you got to let those problems go away, and you actually got to execute. Because if you don't, guess where you're gonna be? You're gonna be sitting on the couch while watching somebody else playing in a super regional if we don't make it, and ultimately somebody else playing in Omaha. So now's the time to fix that problem and actually go and do it and execute it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Someone else I kind of do want to touch on real quick, coming out of the pen, Jacob McGovern. He pitched against Virginia Tech after Canock pitched 6 innings. McGovern comes in, pitches 2 innings, no hits given up, no runs given up, only 1 walk and 3 strikeouts. So McGovern coming out of the pen, he's been solid, he's been reliable, he's been throwing solid innings, no hit ball, no run ball. You definitely don't want that to happen, giving up runs. But yeah, how about a little shout out to Jacob McGovern, being a really reliable source out of the pen, and I mean, that's not something that he's new to. I mean, we've seen that before. So yeah, just definitely wanting to shout out Jacob McGovern there too, with his lefty arm.
Yeah, he's been really good all year, and especially coming off injury, his numbers are fine. He's at 3.4 ERA. He's 3-1 or 18 appearances. The biggest thing about him is because he doesn't have a lot of velo on his on any of his stuff. I don't really see a world where they might throw him out there as a starter and expect him to go more than an inning or 2 innings, just because. Typically in baseball, when guy, you may get them on the first time with, a slower guy coming out of the pen, but when you give those guys 2 and 3 looks at him, it tends to not really go well for the pitcher. But outside of that, I mean, I mean, Bobby is just great out of the pen, and he's made a living off of it his whole career. And funny enough, I had somebody tell me the other day that, I'm not gonna say any the names or, who they're referencing, but they pointed out that there were multiple guys that they see that are, maybe in college right now or in high school ranks that would quote unquote absolutely start over Jacob McGovern. And I'm watching the Georgia Tech game and I'm like, no. I was like, his velo is not a well representation of how well he can pitch and how well he can place pitches.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you about him being a starter. I really don't see him being in that role anymore. I know we've seen him be a starter, but I think he's kind of found his bread and butter coming out of the pen.
Definitely. And I'm also looking at a couple of these pitching numbers. I'm going to give you three guesses to say who has the lowest ERA. And I know ERA is very subjective in today's game of baseball, but don't look. I'm gonna make you guess this. Who
All
would
right.
you say has the lowest ERA on the team right now?
Like out
It's
of all the
really
pitchers, like not just like all every pitcher, like not
all
starter, not
registered.
reliever.
All registered pitchers, yeah, all relievers as well. I'm not counting Tristan Bassetta. They've got him on here, but I'm not counting him. But it's very close.
Well, I mean, I got to go. Is it Mostad? No.
Oh, he's actually, ooh, he's a little up right now.
Is it, man? Can I get a hint? Is it a starter or a reliever?
It's not a starter. Yeah. I
Okay,
mean,
it's
we've
not a
only got
starter.
one true starter right now who's
Oh
even told.
yeah. Is it Garrus?
It is Reed Garris.
Yeah.
1.33 ERA with 17 appearances. Now, I know he's missed some time, so obviously he does have a little bit of, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here. Reed Garris is a phenomenal pitcher, and the sooner we get him back, the sooner we will all be happy. But he has pitched 27 innings, but him and Ethan Darden, when we can bring those two guys back, I will start to feel a little bit better about our pitching depth.
Definitely want to get Reed Garris back. I mean, just such a reliable guy out of the pen. I mean, we've kind of felt that with him not being there, but yeah, if it wasn't Mossad, I knew it would probably be Reed Garris.
Funny enough, Joe Allen's actually number two on the list
Yeah,
with like
I was kind of inching towards Joe Allen, but I was like,
Joe's
it's got
got
to be
22
Garris.
appearances. That kind of I mean, I didn't really realize that, huh?
All right, so anything else you want to touch on ACC tournament wise?
I do not. I think we hit that perfectly.
Perfect. So now we're gonna kind of close the book on Durham because that's over with now, and we have basically a new season, so to speak, coming up. So the NCAA tournament, like I said, we'll figure out the whole bracket tomorrow. Do you know what time that is, Dawson? The b bracket
I believe it's
release?
12. I believe it's
Okay,
12.
that sounds right. But we did get our regional hosts, so no seeds yet, just hosts. So we got Georgia hosting, Auburn hosting, Texas, LSU, North Carolina, Clemson, Coastal Carolina, Oregon State, Oregon, Arkansas, Southern Miss, Tennessee, UCLA, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, and Florida State. So those are your hosts for the regionals coming up. So yeah, just what are your thoughts, Dawson, on these hosts that got named not too long ago this evening?
I think they missed on Georgia Tech. I really thought they were going to get in. I really did, but I guess their performance against us yesterday and combined with, they're really, to be honest, there was really not a huge difference in the ACC. The gap between one and five was like a game difference. So there was really no clear conference standout there outside of, FSU, North Carolina, who both got the benefit of the doubt and did FSU? Yeah, they did get it. Yeah, okay. I'm looking at the same thing. I'm struggling to find Tallahassee, but yeah, I'm really not surprised at the teams that are hosting. One thing that someone pointed out to me was Florida will be on the road somewhere, and that might be a little concerning tomorrow at 12 whenever they start reading out the brackets. Conway, I've got a really good feeling NC State's on there, gonna be packing their bags and driving down to Conway this upcoming weekend. Outside of that, I really can't disagree with a lot of the picks. Now, honestly, obviously I haven't followed every one of these teams very closely, but nothing really jumps out to me as well. I mean, one thing is the SEC, I believe they got 8 out of the 16, which is a little bit of a higher number, but that's just how things are. The overrepresentation of the SEC will always exist in every sport. And not to say that they aren't the best conference, because I believe they are. But, you know, when you start stacking every one of their teams into host and you start throwing all of their teams into regionals, yeah, you're going to get a few of these teams in the World Series every single year, just like in men's college basketball. If you put, you know, a large port, if you put 15 SEC teams into the tournament, sure, you're going to have three or four of them come down the stretch. So I mean, that's just kind of the natural order of things, and from what I'm reading, it looks like it's going to be the exact same way tomorrow when we find out the brackets at 12 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, you knew the SEC was going to get their handful of regional host picks, and you even think back from last year, kind of what you were mentioning, Dawson. Last year, it was basically a SEC versus ACC College World Series. So, I don't know, maybe we'll get that again. Who knows? I mean, it's baseball; anything can happen. But yeah, I was kind of agreeing with you. Maybe Georgia Tech getting a host spot. But like you were saying, with their loss to us, maybe that kind of knocked them out of contention for that. But other than that, I do think the committee got all the regional host sites right. And with us, you kind of talk on Florida, and it kind of gives me a little bit of deja vu from last year. But I wouldn't be surprised if Florida gets thrown there. Another team I've kind of seen is Kentucky. That's one I've really seen a bunch in the past couple of weeks or so. And I've also seen kind of like UCLA or whatever, but they're hosting now. But yeah, just. I know. I just got a feeling we're going to get an SEC team. I mean, I feel like it's only a matter of a time until the I'm losing my train of thought until the regionals get announced. But yeah, I think we're going to be having to prepare for an SEC team coming to the old DKS.
Yeah, I would have thought. Now, if Georgia Tech would have gotten to host, then like D1 baseball projected Florida to go there, and I mean that would have been unfortunate for Georgia Tech. But in that situation, Kentucky would have slid into our regional, and now I'm kind of wondering, is because Atlanta will not be hosting a regional, now will they move Florida into the next available spot, which is would be our regional? That would be the one thing that I'm concerned about, because D1 baseball, as of yesterday, our projected regional was us at one, UCLA, Kentucky, and Bryant. I actually would not mind that regional. I think that is favorable. Just whatever we can do to keep Florida out of there, anybody but them.
Yeah, well, UCLA's hosting now, and I really don't know if they'll send Florida to Tallahassee because, I mean, it's a rivalry, but yeah, I mean, I think anytime now, I mean, we're waiting for them to come out tomorrow, but
I'd say give us the Gamecocks. Throw them in there. Might as well.
yeah, I mean, you could do that, but do you kind of want to go over that tournament resume comparison that we were kind of talking about before we started filming? I know you were big on that, and I mean that's some pretty good stuff right there from what you sent me.
And to look at a couple other of these teams, because still we don't know where we land yet. We just know that we're hosting a regional. Let me pull up RPI right here, which is a major factor in how the committee selects teams. Clemson's RPI number 8, Coastal's RPI, who many were projecting that we would fall into their regional a couple of weeks ago. Coastal's RPI is number 9, Ole Miss number 10, UCLA, who was formerly projected to be in our regional, now is hosting number 11, and the LSU Tigers number 12. And then let's look at versus the top 100 ranked teams. Clemson is 30-15 entering today against the top 100. Coastal is 19-9. Ole Miss is 28-16, one of their wins being against us in the first week of the season. UCLA 23-15, and LSU 23-13. So there's a clear draw out right here. Is Clemson played a really tough schedule this year? A lot of people don't think about that, but Clemson's, schedule was tough. And then the funny part is you look at the conference finish, and Clemson finished 5th in the conference. Coastal won their conference, finishing 1st in the regular season. Ole Miss came in 7th in the SEC. UCLA was tied for 1st, and LSU was tied for 3rd. So I think that kind of goes to show you that maybe the ACC was probably Honestly, I thought it was better this year than what a lot of people might give it credit for. It was super competitive down the stretch, where there was it felt like there was no clear team that jumped out from a ACC record standpoint.
Yeah, I know, like, each week the ACC, they'll put out, like, if the season ended today, this is how the ACC tournament will look. And each week came and gone, and it felt like it was just all scrambled up week after week. There was never really, like, a true number one, number two, top four that would get, like, the double bye or whatever. But I felt like each week that, like, what if the season ended today thing and how the ACC tournament will look, it felt like every week it was different. I mean, teams in different seas, different areas of the bracket, but, yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more with you. The ACC was really, really very competitive this year.
Yeah, and I mean we'll see how they fare in regionals. You know, there's really nowhere to tell. I would say I would pick three. I'll say three. I'll go aggressive and say the ACC has the potential to get three teams into supers and into the College World Series. And now obviously this could shake up depending on where everybody lands tomorrow because you know, if Florida State and Clemson or North Carolina or somebody like that ends up having to face each other in the regional, then or the super regional, then no, you're not going to get two of them in the World Series. But Florida State, Clemson, and North Carolina, and you know, that's easy to say because they are the host teams. But to me, is those are the three best teams in the ACC. You know, people will look at how Clemson played down the stretch and say how they played today and use that as a knock on them, but I'm just not buying it. I think Clemson is better than most of these teams in the conference, and even against Florida State, had a real chance to win that series and totally gave it away. So I think a lot of, you know, what Clemson's problem is finding that consistent level of play and being able to perform down the stretch.
Yeah, baseball season, it's a long season, and I kind of want to use what Coach Backage uses. It's a 20-mile march, like he likes to say. So it's definitely not a sprint, it's a marathon. And baseball season, you have your ups and downs. We've seen Clemson kind of have their down towards the back end and then kind of pick it back up with the Pitt series and then the first stretch of the ACC tournament. I mean, I know today wasn't good, but other than that, I mean, they're kind of picking it back up, and it might be at the right time. But I also kind of want to talk on super regionals. If we do win the Clemson regional, I've been seeing some projections about maybe us heading to Athens down I-85. So just definitely something to keep in touch there. I know last year Florida ended up beating, was it Oklahoma State? Yeah, Florida ended up beating Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma State was the regional host. So ultimately, we ended up hosting the super regional, but I think this year, if we do win the Clemson regional, I mean, anything happens drastically, there's a chance we might have to go down to Athens to play to get to Omaha. So, yeah, just what are your thoughts with that, Dawson?
Georgia can hit the ball. That's what worries me is, yeah, we played them early in the year and we beat them on a Tuesday night and Talen Bell played really well. But what would concern me in a three-game series is they can hit the ball really well. And that's it, honestly. People overcomplicate baseball and I see everyone talking on Twitter and all these, you know, these scientists and these people that study the game and at the end of the day, it comes down to hitting the ball. Just like, you know, I'm sure you heard the same thing. You know, your dad tells you, if you can hit the ball, you will find a way onto that field. You know, it doesn't matter. And Georgia has a entire group, team of guys who can hit the ball. They can hit long ball. They can hit situationally. And that is one thing that scares me about them because of our lack of pitching depth. And now I stated before, and I might have said it earlier on here, I really can't remember. I actually like our chances better in a super regional because it is a flat 3-game set compared to a, if you lose a game, you know, you're playing, you know, 4, 5, 6 games in 1 weekend in a regional. You know, that would probably be a really bad situation for Clemson if they had to play in that loser's bracket in a regional compared to a super regional where you can throw eight and can knock out there for game one and pray that you win that game. And Aiden Canuck's 9-1, by the way, too. So he's been really efficient this year and he's won a lot of games. So if you can take care of that game one, you go all in on game two. You know, so you're only playing 3 games. All you gotta do is win two of them. So I actually like the way that the super regional is set up for us compared to what a regional would look like for us.
Yeah, I feel like in a regional, you run the risk of losing the game, and now you're kind of in a scramble to get back over to the winning side, and then you would ultimately have to beat somebody twice. And I mean, I know with Clemson, I definitely don't want that to be the case, because like you're saying, with pitching depth, I mean, it's kind of bare right now. In pitching depth, I mean, that's really gonna do you in if you go into the losers bracket and kind of have to work yourself up. But I do like how the super regional is. It's just a standard 3-game series, best 2 out of 3. You don't have to worry about anything else. Just 3 games, maybe 2, but yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, with Clemson in their regional, they got to stick it to them, man. They got to really stay in that winner's bracket, because like I was saying, whoever comes out of that loser's bracket, they have to ultimately beat you twice. And we know just from past history, not even with Clemson, with other college baseball teams, how that usually goes. But yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more on that.
There's one team that I am tracking right now. They're coming out of the CAA Northeastern. They have been on fire this year. And I know a lot of people probably don't know a lot about them because they are in the Colonial Athletic Association, but they are on an insane winning streak this year. And they have totally handled business as far as they've needed to. And they're a team with a really storied history. They've made the tournament a couple of times. They've had a lot of success. And they're gonna probably be in the tournament come 12 o'clock today. I can't even remember if they punched their ticket today. I'd like to say they did, so that'll probably be that's an automatic bid, of course. But I see here in D1 baseball where they're projected to land in the Tallahassee regional with Florida State. I think they're a nightmare matchup for anybody in that tournament, whoever they're going against. So I would look at Northeastern as a bit of a sleeper team right now to make some noise in the tournament.
Yeah, you always have those sneaky teams that, I mean, those sneaky smaller school teams that always can give you a run for your money. Hold on, I'm looking real quick, Dawson, with Northeastern. Yeah, they didn't end up winning the CAA. They ended up beating UNC Wilmington 9-6 today, so they did win the CAA and get that automatic bid. So, yeah, I definitely didn't know about them. I'm glad you brought it up. I mean,
I've been
you
watching them
always.
for a couple of years now. They've always been really good because I follow
Yeah.
them so closely. And Northeastern, man, it feels like there's the Auburn and Charleston side almost every single year in the CAA.
Yeah, you never really kind of pay attention to the smaller conferences, but I mean, they really do play some good ball in those smaller conferences. I mean, gritty ball, I mean, talented team. So yeah, I'll definitely be keeping up with is it Northeastern, Northwestern? Northeastern.
Northeastern, yeah.
Northeastern, now that you mention it. So good stuff right
And
there.
I could be totally wrong. They could totally get blown out in the regional. I'll look like an idiot. I'll look like I don't know anything. But if I'm right, then I'll get to tell everybody that I knew. So that'll be the one good
Yeah.
thing.
Yeah, there's always that good chance. So now I kind of want to talk on some Clemson expectations. I just kind of want to hear your thoughts, Dawson. What are your expectations for Clemson coming into NCAA tournament time?
It's tough. I mean, I feel like this year has been a total roller coaster, and we started this year with such high expectations, and we've ran into so many problems this year that we didn't think we'd run into, as far as pitching depth and performance issues from a lot of guys, to where we've had to kind of look at our expectation, which was the World Series. And I still think Clemson at its best could get to a World Series. I see the path there, but it's gonna take quality pitching from the pitchers this upcoming weekend. You're gonna have to hit with runners on, and you cannot screw up. I know you could lose two games, or you could afford to drop a game this weekend and go into the losers bracket, but I'm telling you, that's not where you want to live. This team is not built to play from behind, and this team is certainly not built to have to play with a loss under their belt in the weekend. So if you want to avoid getting shut out and losing in your own regional, three keys. Pitching has to be key. We've got to keep guys out. Aiden Canock has to be really efficient Friday and get through the order. Number two, got to hit with runners on. That's going to be a big deal, is can we score runs with guys in scoring position? Can we stop striking out, and can we stop hitting into double plays? Number three, you need your stars to come out. We need Cam Cantarell. Cam, if you can hear us, it's time. This is the regional. This is where you turn things on. We need guys like that to play. We need every, this is a big deal. You cannot look at this weekend and overlook any team, because frankly, anybody can jump up and nip you in the butt. You wouldn't have any clue about it. So that is my biggest three keys, is to take this seriously, take every game seriously, and you might just be seeing yourself in a super where anything can happen once you get to that level, especially in a three-game series.
Yeah, one thing I am excited about is that the Tigers will be back home in Duck Kingsmore Stadium, and we know what that brings postseason time. We've seen it last year. We see how, and even sometimes this year with the South Carolina game and the Georgia game, you know how electric Duck Kingsmore Stadium can get. And I mean, we both know Clemson plays good at DKS, and that might be what gets you through the regional. But yeah, kind of piggybacking off what you said, Dawson, I don't think this team can afford to kind of get in the loser's bracket and try and work their way back, because I really don't think that they're built to do it. I mean, they need, if they can, try and stay in that winner's side of the things and just use as little pitching as you can. Aiden Canuck has got to come out and set the tone game one, which we know he will. And I mean, we'll just see what we go from there. But I do feel like us being back at DKS, where we know the Tigers play good, is definitely going to be another key to that. And then once we head off into a super region or wherever that may be, then we'll go from there and see. But I really do think being back home at DKS really does play a prime factor in Clemson in the regional.
Yeah, and just to, real quick, hit on, I didn't even say it, you brought it up just now. You're right. Clemson plays really good at home, especially this year. They feed off of that crowd energy, and that's one thing we're going to need. We're going to need people to show up every single game. We're going to need people to be there. They're going to have to be loud. They're going to have to be rowdy. I'm sure they're probably already stocking up at the beer garden down there for people. You're going to have to be people are going to have to be down there at the bullpens. They're going to have to be distracting pitchers. But, all in good fun to help the Tigers. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I think the beer garden is finally coming to what it's made for. I think it might go crazy this weekend, so we'll see how it goes. I know we plan on being there this weekend, barring anything else changes. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. And I know DKS is going to be packed full of Tiger fans and ready to roll.
Definitely, definitely.
All right, so anything else you want to touch on as far as NCAA tournament stuff coming up?
I don't. I am ready to jump into our next topic.
Yeah, I definitely am too. So our next topic, Clemson softball, ended up falling to Texas in Austin in the Austin Super Regional, but man, I thought we had it. But I mean, just a great series overall. Great softball series overall. I know it didn't come out with the result that we wanted, but just a great softball series all around from both Texas and Clemson.
As good of a season as we had, they had a really good chance to do something really special, and we should not let. I don't. I want to make this really clear. Is I don't want to let this loss overshadow the success that this team had and the growth that this team showed. This was a team that early on that people were not even. If you would have said postseason, they would have laughed at you. They struggled a lot early on, but they grew. And you saw them play well, and you saw a freshman step up. You saw Brooke McCubbin hold it down from the pitching mound. You saw, senior, older players like Alex Brown come alive. But, you gotta discuss what happened this weekend. Game one, I couldn't watch it. I mean, that game started at like 11:30. I had to be up early the next morning, so I just had to catch the highlights there. But game two, man, that was you this close, this close. You had runners on second and third, no outs, late in the game, and you could not push a run through. I mean, it felt like I was watching a Clemson baseball game out there. I mean, just over and over and over again. It's just like Texas and Clemson were going back and forth with, you want to win? No. going into Friday night's game.
Yeah, I cut out for a minute, but kind of recapping the scores before I go into my little spiel about it. So, game one Thursday, Clemson wins game one 7-4, and then Dawson was talking about the Friday night game. Clemson loses 7-5 in 10 innings. Yeah, and then last night ended up falling 6-5. Just another close game, but I really didn't. I watched a little bit of that game one on Thursday. I know the lightning delay kind of strung it out for, it was like an hour and a half delay, and then it went on to the late hours of the night. I had work in the morning, but I did the same thing you did. I kind of looked at the highlights, and I was just waiting to wake up in the morning and see, look at my phone and see if Clemson won, and they did. But I think just the big part is that Friday night game. Like you said, 60 feet away. Is it 60 feet in softball? Yeah.
'Cause 90 in baseball, right?
Yeah, 60 feet away from OKC. That's kind of like my storyline for it. 60 feet from OKC, no outs, runners on second and third, and you can't drive them in, and then you let Texas come back and win it. And I know Texas pitcher, ace pitcher on the mound, or the circle actually, not the mound, Tegan Cavan. That girl is a pretty good pitcher. She's only a sophomore, really good pitcher. She had Clemson's number for a little while. I know they kind of hit on her in the first game, but that second game, she comes out and, I mean, she does her thing. And then ultimately in game three, Texas brings in Mack Morgan, I believe her name is, and kind of just shuts it down. But kind of talking about what you went on, Dawson, I know it's frustrating that this team didn't make it to OKC, but you got to look at the bigger picture and really see what they did this whole season as a whole. They started out 4-6 after two tournaments in Florida, two tournaments, I mean, against some tough teams, but still, people wasn't sure what this team was going to do. I mean, were they even going to make it to the postseason with the NCAA tournament? Were they going to have good pitching? Were they going to be a good hitting team? Is this team too young? And, I mean, they kept playing and playing and ended up getting on a hot streak, and then they ended up meshing together real well. And I highly recommend, if you want to kind of look at the recap of the Clemson softball season, I actually read an article today. It was a little bit of an opinionated piece, but more of factual stuff. I posted it this morning, and it kind of actually blew up a little bit. But anyways, if you want to check that out, go to TigerViewMediaCU.com. I'll kind of touch on that reason with the website later. But yeah, if you really want to dive into how the whole season went, I highly recommend reading that article.
Sorry, I want to inject this real quick. I did just notice Clemson's football or Clemson's baseball record this year ended 44-16. So if fans do remember on that night not so long ago against Alabama, we took them down 44-16. Shout out Chase Thompson who brought that to my attention a little while ago. But sorry, I did. I felt like that was too good to pass up there. My brain was kind of shooting from the hip there.
Yeah, no, you're good. That's good stuff right there. But yeah, just a great season overall from Coach Rittman and Clemson softball. You get another year back with this year's freshmen. You get them some more experience, and hey, maybe next year we can go one step further. This past year was Clemson's first time winning a super regional game, so if you get two super regional wins, guess what? You're in the World Series. So we'll see how next year goes. Coach Rittman was saying in the post-game press conference after the loss last night that there's another talented group of freshmen coming in. So if we can build off that, I think we're going to be good for 2026. So I can't wait to see what happens.
I agree with everything that you said.
Yeah, man. So anything else you want to touch on softball?
I guess my final point is I really hope that these young players and the freshmen that they grow from this moment right here, that they remember how it felt to lose this series, because I feel like losing is important, not just in sports world, but in life. Losing happens every day. But it's how you respond to that. How does this team carry on next year and take their memories and take their pain from this loss and grow from it. That's the biggest thing that I want to see is, what are they going to look like next year now after, kind of having to deal with this.
Yeah, I kind of want to shout out the veterans real quick. Like you said, Dawson Brooke McCubbin, Reese Basinger. I mean, coming in from Winthrop and kind of being our ace, ACC Pitcher of the Year. Abby Vieira, man, she's a wallbat there behind the plate. You got Alex Brown, Maddie Moore. I mean, Maddie Moore is really kind of a cornerstone of Clemson softball and just the history of it. And all the other veterans that I might have missed, but those are basically the main ones. But just big shout out to them and just kind of, I guess, setting the new standard of Clemson softball, and then the freshmen that we had this year, just kind of going to replace them and try and build off that and go further and further with this program.
Definitely.
All right, so moving along now, kind of our last little segment. So we kind of talked on the college football playoff a little bit last week with how the seeding and stuff goes, but now we got even more new news this week. College football playoff's going to move to straight seeding. And yeah, we're kind of just going to talk on that and then what that kind of looks like for Clemson coming up in the future with Clemson football.
A lot of people really didn't, I don't think, understood the concept of straight seeding, but straight seeding is basically taking away the four byes for the automatic qualifiers for the college football playoff. It's not getting rid of automatic byes or automatic bids, but it is taking away the top four seeds of it. So, for example, last year, Oregon won the Big Ten. So automatically, Oregon was the only Big Ten team that was now allowed to have a bye in the first round. So that means you saw Penn State have to host a playoff game, and obviously, you saw Ohio State play. But for example, we have a little map here of what last year's playoffs would have looked like without that straight seeding, and you would have had Oregon at number one. So they would have still, hold on, is this, you would
Yeah.
have had, Oregon at number one. You would have seen Georgia at number two, because again, this is not based off of, this is not based off of one team from each conference getting into that top four or that fifth, if you count the ACC or a outside, or an outside group of five team. So you will see Texas, who would have came in at number three. They would not have been five because them losing in the conference championship game would not have kicked them out and moved them to the outside seed. They would have still been able to stay at three, as that was their ranking going into that. And Penn State would have gotten a bye at number four. But for Clemson's matchup, Clemson would have stayed at 12. This would not have affected Clemson last year, but they would have played Notre Dame instead of Texas. And I don't know about you, but if we would have gone into Notre Dame, things could have looked different. I really do think that. And I could be wrong. Notre Dame could run the ball really well, which is something that we could not defend against. And Notre Dame could have ran all over us. But I think that that would have been a better matchup for us rather than Texas. And I think even these other matchups would have been a lot more competitive in this way, because now with straight seeding is you are getting fairer matchups. There will always be blowouts in the playoffs, but like Indiana and Boise State, that is a so much better matchup than Indiana and Notre Dame or Boise State having to sit around all the first round and wait on Penn State to come play them. Even 7-10, it might still be, it might, this might would have been an easy Tennessee win, but Tennessee would have played SMU. That would have been a really entertaining game, in my opinion, I think. And then you can look at Ohio State and Arizona State. We like to say Arizona State could have kept up with them, but man, Ohio State felt like a buzzsaw all last year. So I don't, I mean, that game specifically, I don't know what it mattered. But even for this upcoming year, this is going to be a big deal to know that, like the SEC, they could have two teams in the bye, or the Big Ten could have two teams in the bye now, because they're not limiting it to one team per conference. And now you're going to see a lot more fair matchups come first round and playoff time. So I think I am in the belief that the NCAA did get this one right. I like this move.
Yeah, I am in favor of this new straight seeding model. Like you said, you can have more than one conference getting the top four bye, but I also feel like this is kind of more of a way that makes more sense than last year's format did. But yeah, like you were saying, Clemson, I mean, they still would have been the 12th seed, but they would have matched up with Notre Dame. And I mean, we know how those Notre Dame matchups have been as of late. I mean, I know we won last time we played them in Death Valley, but we would have had to go into South Bend. And the last time we faced them in South Bend, DJU was the quarterback. And I mean, I know that was a kind of a hectic game, but we know how those matchups with Notre Dame can be, Clemson and Notre Dame, which we will be playing them more often here in the foreseeable future. But I would think if Clemson did win that game against Notre Dame and have to go into Happy Valley, I don't know how that would have fared. But yeah, I do love this model. Like you were
That game
saying,
would have been
with
a neutral site game, wouldn't it have been?
oh wait, yeah, that's right, you're right. Not Happy Valley. We would have that would have been like a neutral site. Yeah, you're right. I'm thinking ahead. But anyways, I do like what you were pointing out too with the Indiana and Boise State game. It kind of feels like a more fair game than like we've seen this year, Boise State having to wait in the Fiesta Bowl and ends up playing Penn State, and then Penn State ends up handling them. But yeah, I think this weighs far better than last year was, and I love it. I mean, I can't wait to see what the season holds and how it kind of fills out once this season comes along.
And ideally, we're not even really going to care about this that much because we're going to be a top four seed anyway. Ideally, I'd like to be, I'd like to get number two or number one. I don't think they'll give us number one because the only way that I would see us getting number one is if we beat LA. We're going to have to beat, we're going to have to be undefeated for that. But we're going to have some help from LSU and South Carolina and probably Louisville. LSU is going to have to probably, still be in that top 12 by the end of the year after losing to us. And South Carolina, I believe, will have to finish with a record of 9-3 to propel us to number one. And that's with a loss to us. So we're gonna have to be one of their three losses to give us a strong case for number one, because you're not really gonna have a lot of strength in the ACC this year. So if you can have a win over a potential two potential playoff teams, I think that would bolster your ranking to number one, barring somebody else were to go crazy. But I guess talking about rankings and predictions, that's probably for another day.
Yeah, I do agree. I think Clemson will get one of the top four seeds, and I mean we'll see how it plays out. But I do agree with you saying it all depends on with us if we do beat LSU how they kind of fare the rest of the season, and then the same thing with South Carolina. So I do like what you were saying about us possibly getting number one seed, but I do feel confident in Clemson grabbing one of the top four seeds though.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Trying to think what else. You got anything else you kind of want to mention with this? I am excited for college football season. It can't come quick enough, man. I swear. I'm tired of doing all the predictions and rankings and all that stuff. I'm just ready to go, man. I'm ready to go.
Man, all I can wonder about is, we're really deep in the off season right now, and I'm looking at some of these college football shows that do 24, 365 college football, and I'm like, how do they do it? How do they find new news every day to talk about? Because even for us is, if we get a slow week, obviously we get to go into detail about baseball right now, but especially when you hit the summer, there's not going to be a ton to talk about. And you're not having practice going on at football, so you're just talking about season expectations. So that's, safe to say we're ready for August. I think all of us are ready for August.
Yeah, I know softball wrapped up, so kind of really the only thing that's left now is baseball, and then we'll see how far that goes. But I kind of just want to circle around back to the college football playoff stuff real quick. I just kind of want to go over the just the whole layout of it. I got the schedule up right here. So the playoff quarterfinals, the Cotton Bowl is going to be on Wednesday, December 31st at 7:30 p.m. on ESPN, and then New Year's Day 2026, January 1st. That's going to be an eventful day. You got the Orange Bowl at noon, which I kind of feel like the Orange Bowl should be at night, but the Orange Bowl is at noon on ESPN, and then right after it, you got the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl at 4 p.m., which is that's the usual start time for the Rose Bowl, and then you kind of round it out with the All-State Sugar Bowl at 8 p.m. on New Year's Day. So, yeah, New Year's Day is going to be pretty lit. And then kind of going into the semifinals, January 8th, you got the Fiesta Bowl at 7:30, and then the next day, Friday, you got the Peach Bowl. So the Fiesta Bowl and the Peach Bowl are your semifinals, both at 7:30. And then ultimately, you got the College Football Playoff National Championship game. That will be on Monday, January 19th. I still don't know why they do the National Championship game on a Monday, but that's another topic for another day. But that will be at 7:30 as well. But that's your College Football Playoff schedule. I kind of feel like if Clemson does reach the semifinals, you kind of hope we go to the Peach Bowl. It kind of be like a Clemson home game, maybe.
Yeah, I didn't even. The whole time you're thinking about that, all I'm thinking about is Rose Bowl. Because I don't. Has Clemson ever even played in a Rose Bowl? I
I'm
don't even.
pretty. I'm 100% sure. Maybe 99% sure that the Rose Bowl game is the only game that Clemson has not played in of the New Year's Six bowls.
Yeah, I didn't want to like say that and sound like, an idiot, but in my time watching them, we've never played there, not to my knowledge, but I can just see if we win that, I can see Cade holding that rose in his mouth, just like all of the other quarterbacks do. But that would be a really, but yeah, logically, Chick-fil-A Bowl would be great. We could all drive there pretty easily, hopefully get a win there. But man, the Rose Bowl, that would be so cool to get. That would be so cool to play at.
Yeah, I kind of wonder what like jersey altercations, if any, if they would do with Clemson. I know some other teams kind of do a little rose, like with Ohio State doing like the rose stripe on the helmet. So I kind of wonder if Clemson would do anything with that. But yeah, man, that would be awesome to see Clemson play in the Rose Bowl game. I'm pretty sure Clemson's never played in the Rose Bowl, but that would be pretty awesome.
I've got an idea for, Clemson, feel free to reach out for me to this. The Clemson has a logo called the like top hat tiger logo where the tiger's, dipping the hat. What about we put the tiger holding a rose in his mouth? That's an idea there. So if we ever play there, and that's the logo, Clemson, I expect my royalties to be paid out.
That would be awesome. Anything with the Rose and the Clemson, anything Clemson related would be awesome. But ultimately, you got to think, which I mean, it probably won't play out this way, but ultimately, if Clemson could get the Orange Bowl and then the Peach Bowl, and then, I mean, if they make it that far in the national championship game, that would be awesome being back there in Miami. But I'm ready for college football season if you can't tell already.
Yeah, I do mean to think reasonably, realistically, it would be the Orange Bowl, right? Because that's the highest, I expect us to be the highest ranked ACC team. So yeah, we will probably be in that Orange Bowl. So guess give us a noon game, I guess,
Yeah, we're used to it by now. But yeah, just ready to see what the college football season holds. I know it's bound to be another crazy one. It just seems like it's crazy each year, but really excited for August 30th to come whenever the Tigers play the Tigers in Death Valley, the real Death Valley at that. But yeah, man. That's all I got really.
Yeah, me as well. I mean, I guess next time we come on here, we'll find out whether we're probably going to a super regional or we're probably not,
Yeah, so me and Dawson's looking to be on site for the regional, so y'all kind of stay tuned there. Maybe we can kind of do a little video again if possible, like we did at the spring game. Seemed like that got a pretty good attention, but yeah, just be on the lookout. Dawson and I is always posting on social media, always something to talk about for sure, especially over there on the X world. I know things can get kind of crazy with that, but yeah, that's really all I got. This was another fun episode. I know we didn't have a bunch to talk about, but I feel like we kind of did a good job of really diving deeper into these segments than we usually do. But yeah.
Definitely, definitely. I'm excited. This is going to be a big week in Clemson, I can tell you that.
Yep, get DKS rolling. That's what I love to see. All right, well, Dawson, you got anything else to add for this episode?
I do not.
All right. Well, one more thing I do kind of want to point out. I kind of forgot to do it at the beginning, but Tiger View Media. I know we post all of our articles on social media, so you can kind of just easy click. But we kind of change up our URL and also host site. So now it's still Tiger View Media, but at the end it's CU for Clemson University .com. So Tiger View Media CU.com is our kind of new little website URL, just in case you were wondering. But yeah, just make sure you're keeping up there with the latest Clemson Tiger news, and also Dawson and I's social medias. Make sure you're keeping up with those. But yeah, it's been another fun week, another eventful week. Not as eventful as some weeks, but yeah, I think that'll do it. That'll do it for the 10th episode. 10th episode is crazy. It's crazy we've already done 10 of these episodes. But yeah, let me stop blabbering. I know it's getting kind of late, but yeah, that'll do it. It's been Gavin and Dawson on the Tiger View podcast, and as always, go Tigers.